One thing I wanted to mention real quick is, where are my all my copies of that at? I don't guess I have to be looking at it to talk about it, but I got a stack of them. There they are, right there. You grab that. I want to be holding it in my hand, you know, because they can see us. They're looking at us. I want to talk about, if you listen to episode 70 of Kill Pop Culture, you'll hear us talking to Ray Van Dusen of the Monroe Journal, and the MC, their magazine, has been released, and they got a cool write-up about Kill Pop Culture in there. Have you read it yet?
Yeah.
Where did you get it at?
Laura got one in Piggly Wiggly.
Like they were just laying there?
Yeah, just laying there in Piggly Wiggly. Yeah.
If you want to get a copy, just go back and listen to that episode, and he tells all the places to get one. But one thing I wanted to add is that if you're outside the kind of like listener viewer area of Kill Pop Culture, we have a stack here and we will be happy to send you one if you'll just hit us up on a Facebook message at our Facebook page or email us at killpopculture69@gmail.com and we will mail you a copy of this. It's really, I mean, the whole thing is awesome. As always, Ray Van Dusen and the guys and gals at Monroe Journal hit a home run on this. I've read pretty much the whole thing. And this is a timeless thing. Like, the articles in here they're not date sensitive.
No, they're not. No. It's just information.
Other than maybe the advertisements that are in here, nothing has a date on it. There's like an advertisement for a fireworks show for 4th of July this past. But other than that, these articles are relevant whether you read it tomorrow or a month from now. You know, it's...
Yeah, people can find out exactly where, you know, we come from, basically. Just reading this, get the history of everything.
And I like the picture that they have in there. Makes my forearms look big. So I was like, well, this is a win.
Win.
And then I read it, and it's an amazing article, the way Ray Van Dusen words things and takes our malfeasance that we spew out and turns it into, like, poetry.
Yeah.
He is a true poet.
That's the first thing I said. It's like I love how Ray always does interviews with me and makes me sound smarter than I actually am. So it's a good read.
Yeah, and I mean, there's all kinds of stuff in this magazine. It's really nice, well put together. Pick up a copy of it if you live in this area. If you don't, hit us up and we'll make sure you get a copy. Oh, free. Oh. They're free. I mean, no matter where you get them, they're free.
Free.
Talked to Kim Coleman today of the 1817 Brewing Company. And if everybody listened to episode 71?
I believe so.
The Brewbecue.
The Brewbecue.
We brewed some Kill Pop Fresh Hop Pale Ale. I can't say it as good as you, but.
You got it.
But I got it.
You got it.
I want to hear Anthony say it one more time.
Kill Pop. I've been drinking too much now.
Sure, no, you gotta try it.
I meant to start off with the fact that this may not even be used on the podcast because sometimes when we're a little intoxicated, it comes across as charming and adorable, and then sometimes it just comes off
as
absolutely annoying train wreck. Yeah. You know when you got that one drunk friend that you can tolerate if you're drunk too, mm-hmm. but like if you're sober, you hate him.
I'm that guy.
We were that guy.
Yeah. Oh, we were both that guy.
We're both that guy.
Well, I was trying to make you feel better.
Yeah.
The reason that we have a little bit of buzz going is because we just did some Boilermakers.
Yeah, we did.
Well, that's not the only reason. We've also been drinking pretty much.
And we've been drinking all day.
All weekend.
Hey, it's a holiday. We're off work. We're celebrating our independence and the movie Independence Day 1 and 2.
Yeah.
All right, let me get back to my story. The Kill Pop Fresh Hop Pale Ale is done with phase 1, the fermentation phase.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess the creation phase is the first phase.
Right.
That's what we did on the air. Now it's finished fermenting. It has alcohol in it, and that's important.
Yeah.
Usually with beer, it's important to have alcohol. And it definitely has that. Now it's going through the carbonation process.
And carbonation / aging.
Yeah. Yes. Technically, we could drink this beer tomorrow because it would have carbonation.
See, I drink it now.
Yeah.
That's good.
Don't say that out loud. I promise Kim we wouldn't cheat.
We're not going to cheat, but I drink it now.
What I'm saying is by tomorrow, it will have carbonation.
It'd have carbonation, yes.
It won't be flat. But Kim said to let it carbonate for 3 days, force carbonate, which means the PSI is turned up to 40 for 3 days. your serving PSI is around 9 or 10, which is just enough pressure for it to come out of the tap. So we're going to return it to drinking pressure at 8 o'clock on Thursday.
Yeah.
And then we're going to let it sit for another week after that. He said 2 weeks. Yeah, I'll come out here and cut it down to about 9 PSI. Then that next weekend, we should be able to drink Hill Pop Fresh Hop Pale Ale on the air.
Right.
You know, one thing that I thought about today that's definitely podcast material is that Game of Thrones marathon that they've been playing on HBO.
Right.
And actually, when you know, I told you I'd Voxer you when I got out of the shower and got ready for you to come pick me up. I was actually ready way before I Voxered you, but it was that part where Tyrion released the dragons from the thing.
Look, we talked about this last night. You and Kelly got me started watching this last night. First time I've ever actually sat down and seen it.
This is amazing.
And I sat there and I was looking at it and I was like, this is a lot like D&D.
You need to sit down.
Kelly and Martin was like, this is D&D.
It's
actually
really,
Lord of the Rings is.
It's really weird because
I didn't see that.
The book was based on it. That's how I even come up with it.
It's so sociably acceptable from people like that aren't, you know, quote unquote nerds to watch Game of Thrones.
Technically you're a nerd.
And you're a nerd if you play D&D to these people.
Right.
But they're watching D&D and it's okay.
Yeah. And they're they're rooting for people.
Laura was like that. Laura was like that when Lord of the Rings came out, when I was like, oh my God, I gotta go watch it. I was all geeked out about going to watch Lord of the Rings when it came out at the theaters, and we went and watched it and she was hooked from then on. Because the movies are great, the first three was. But
I like the last one of The Hobbit. I didn't like the first one.
Gary Gygax, that's what he based, when he read The Hobbit, he based D&D off that. I believe that's that.
We've talked about this before, how, you know, people are like, oh man, y'all grown men reading comic books. I'm like, well, you're a grown man and you went to see The Avengers. Do you think that was based off of a reality show? I mean, come on. It's the same thing.
It's, yeah.
But anyway.
Most of that stuff for me is nostalgia anyway. I mean, it's just a flashback. I mean, I can be a kid again for a little bit.
It's like
that,
I said the other
small
day.
Moment.
Now we need to play D&D like grown-ups, though. We need to have, like...
Well, y'all had, like, y'all, the Kill Pop Cultural Crafting Corner out here.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
We need to get we need to get the sets and the minis and the grid.
We need to start videoing.
Because
this
when we were kids, like, all we could afford was dice, pencils, and paper. And that's it. Like, we would go to the dollar store and get a couple of Spiderball notebooks and some pencils. And we usually shared dice because it was hard to get dice back then. You didn't have eBay or whatever.
Or internet.
Yeah.
Or anything. You had our dice on rocks.
You had a lance.
We got a rock and put 20 sides on it. But yeah, now that we're grown-ups playing D&D, we need to, like, get, you know, play D&D like some big old badasses.
Yeah.
So I'm taking it that guy's going to be on the show, huh?
I'm going to try to get the guy from Drunkens and Dragons on the show. We got a really good episode this week. We got Josh from the Mississippi Horror Con on the air. He's going to be talking to us about everything that inspired him, like his whole idea of how he got started. This is the first one that's been done ever in this area. He does the Haunted Castle every year and how he transitioned into that. And I won't give away spoilers because you're fixing to listen to it. But we need to mention the names. They were gracious enough to let us give away tickets for this. And we did two giveaways tonight because we had a week. We had to catch up a week. We were a week behind. And we did two drawings for tickets tonight. And we got Kara Brooke one.
Right. Yeah.
And
got a Kara one.
Stephen Leon.
And Stephen Yates.
Stephen Yates.
So congratulations!
Congratulations to them.
Next
we'll
week's
another...
winner is going to be. Stay tuned to find out.
Possibly you, who is listening to this, put your name in the hat. Hit us up with a message and let us know you want to be in the drawing, and we'll put you in there.
Yeah,
I'm super excited about the HorrorCon.
Yeah, when we do our little outro here, I think we should talk a little bit about some of your horror stuff.
We should.
Oh yeah.
Because we had a good conversation about horror movies.
Before, yeah.
That we didn't record.
I can tell you the first horror movie I seen.
What is it?
Phantasm.
That was mine.
We had a free HBO weekend. I was probably single digit elementary, 7, 8, 9.
Seven.
Somewhere around in there. And Phantasm come on.
All right, well, here's our interview with Josh from the HorrorCon. Make sure you get your name in the hat if you want to go hang out with us. We'll be there we'll be there Saturday and Sunday. Set up like we were at Comic-Con, maybe even the same spot.
Cool. See you later, Bob.
Yeah, that was like a weird place to end it. Like, I don't feel like that doesn't feel transitional.
No, it doesn't.
Kella, tell them to listen to this interview.
Y'all really need to listen to this interview.
That was a good transition.
Yeah, it was.
Are you looking to reach a wider audience? Are you looking to get your name out there? Are you looking to go to the next level with advertisement? Well, think no more. Advertise with us at Kill Pop Culture.
Just tell us a little bit about your business and leave the rest to us. We'll build you a state-of-the-art commercial to be played every episode.
We're only going to take on about one or two more sponsors, so be sure to grab these slots up before they're gone.
We have plans to fit any budget, and we can build a commercial for any type of business.
Email killpopculture69@gmail.com today.
All right, we have the Presidente of the HorrorCon, Mississippi HorrorCon, on the phone. Can we call you President? What do we call you?
That sounds, I guess, the proper way to go. Yeah.
President sounds good, or Emperor Supreme, or something like that, you know?
Yeah,
just,
Führer, whatever works fine.
Führer? Awesome. Well, man, July 22nd, it's coming up pretty fast. How's everything?
Yes.
Is everything like super crazy for you right now, preparing for the con?
It is. It's actually the last week or so, it's ratcheted up to about 10 times what it was when it, you know, started planning, which I'm learning a lot as I go, but that's a good issue to have. It's just too busy, so that's good news.
Yeah. Well, you're obviously a big fan of horror in general because y'all have been doing that Haunted Castle in Tupelo for how many years now?
Since 2009 was our first year.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Did you kind of always have in mind an idea to do a con, or is this something that came about later?
No, not at all. We actually, me and my brother got involved. We go to conventions and visit just normal sci-fi conventions, and we got into gaming, actually, really heavy. And so we did some gaming things for local conventions and some smaller events. And actually went to the Tupelo Comic-Con, helped with them organizing.
Uh-huh.
And opportunity came up to get an event space from the Tupelo Furniture Market, and they asked if we would want to do a convention. And, I mean, we don't work on our haunted house until the end of July usually anyway, so I figured, heck, I got a little while to spend. Might as well get something to do. So we decided to give it a shot, and so far it's worked out all right.
Awesome. Well, again, like I said, you're obviously a huge fan of horror in general. What kind of got you into that? Were you a big fan of the 70s and 80s horror movies growing up?
No, the other thing too is growing up, I wasn't into horror stuff at all. We actually did our first haunted event in 2004 as a fundraiser. I was a volunteer firefighter at the time and needed something easy to do. And I said, well, hell, I'm holding a haunted house of ease. We gave it a shot. And after that, I got hooked on it from then on. I actually don't even visit many haunted houses and stuff. Now I do them full time. But I just got into the horror stuff really heavy lately. Last probably 2009 more heavy than before. But nowadays it's mostly like classic stuff like Hills Have Eyes and more your 80s type horror stuff now. If I do watch it. So doing this now, I've made more connections in that space. So I'm getting more exposure to it. So now I'm getting more and more into it and more addicted to it.
Oh, yeah. Do you have a favorite, like a favorite franchise or a favorite iconic villain?
If I had to go to a favorite franchise, it's going to be like the Hellraiser franchise.
Oh, yeah.
Just because they're kind of brutal but so bizarre at the same time. I do like a lot of like the found footage movies and stuff, too. I found like those a lot more often than the rest of them. But as far as franchises go, probably Pinhead's way to go.
Yeah, we were talking about this the other night, actually, because one of our good friends, the producer of the show, he's huge into horror. Like, he was so excited about this whole thing. And we were having this big talk about horror movies and franchises from the 70s and 80s and how it's so different nowadays. It's almost like, I'm not dissing, like, current horror movies or anything. It seems like they're not creating the icons.
They're just doing reboots of old stuff. They're rebooting, like, you know, Leatherface and Nightmare on Elm Street, which I like new Nightmare on Elm Street a lot. They're good. But, you know, they have nothing new to the table. Even they're rebooting Phantasm coming up. And, you know, there's nothing new under the sun to do. They're just kind of going over the same things.
Yeah,
and that's actually what we got into on our haunt events and stuff. We try to do our own stuff and try to invent new things as it goes, and that's why we've actually had the success we've had with our haunt events. We don't do a lot of the same, the popular monsters. We try to do our own versions of stuff, and we get a lot of respect back for that because we do different things.
I actually went through the haunted castle in, I want to say 2015, maybe.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's super packed like every night. Like when you get there, you usually have to wait.
We've probably grown exponentially about 20-25% every year we've done stuff. And that's something we've experienced. I mean, it's just regular growth, and we haven't done any more advertising than normal. Just word of mouth mostly.
Well, what's the kind of stuff that you've taken from your knowledge and experience from the haunted castle that kind of segues into a horror con? Is there any of the stuff that's kind of helped you?
This is what I'm learning as I go. I've actually talked to a lot of con organizers just lately, and I'm approaching this convention more as our event for our haunted house. We do it is we have customers there for one night, so I want them to have a lot to do. I want them to come out and see a lot and do a lot. So I'm trying to take that same kind of thing into the convention, where we're trying to pack every minute with something new to do. We have tons of vendors, tons of just other stuff to occupy everybody there. I want people to show up and spend a lot of time at our event. And so I'm trying to just fill it full of stuff. And talking to a lot of these con organizers, that's not the norm, apparently. Apparently the normal thing is just to have a set schedule and just let people kind of meander about. But I want people to be just bombarded with everything. You know?
Plenty of stuff to do, yeah. Definitely. And you're going to have panels and all that stuff?
We've got panels. We've got makeup tutorials. We've got contests. We're going to do trick-or-treating for kids. We've got two different dances, tons of DJs. It's just stuff. We're going to show scary movies all day. We have some of like the Ghost Hunter episodes going to be showing. I've got some of the bigger haunted locations that do ghost hunting to come out and talk about their locations and show stuff. It's going to be awesome. Like I said, it's building up to something a lot more than I even thought it was going to be. So it should be a lot of fun.
Awesome. Hey, since you've put out the flyer and everything, have you added any more?
We've had a lot of stuff. Just today, we've gotten, I think, three more smaller screen actors jumping on. I've got some more ghost hunters coming out. We've got two big paranormal groups coming out with like equipment to show off and do stuff. I've got, I don't know, three or four more pretty well-known like cosplayers coming out, and tons more vendors just in the last couple days have bound us somehow and have started calling me. And that's the weirdest thing is in the last like 2 weeks, I went from me trying to chase these people down to I'm getting approached by agents and by people that want to do more events in the future with me, which I'm not used to that. I'm used
that's
to
awesome.
Having a hub with my people, but I'm getting phone calls every 10 minutes, somebody new trying to find out what they can do to get involved. So,
like you said, awesome. Man, that's a good problem to have.
It is. It's just overwhelming. I'm not used to it at all. I'm used to having to BS my way into talking to somebody. Now I'm getting approached by them. If this goes even all right, which I'm sure it's going to, we have some way bigger names of people wanting to come out if we do this again. Some way bigger names get involved. So if this goes just all right, we're going to have a lot bigger event next time. Awesome. So I'm excited about it.
Awesome.
Yeah, I think one thing that Comic-Con proved is that Tupelo is hungry for things like this. And
they are.
There's definitely room for it.
There is. And that's one thing before I even did this, because we did help with the Comic-Con. I went to the guy that organized it and just wanted to touch base and make sure there wasn't any hard feelings if we did an event on our own. And they're all supportive of it. The city's been supportive of it. And I've been surprised by the overwhelming support we've got from just local businesses and everybody who's jumped on to help me out. The furniture market, just up to like even like the Main Street Association, has been excited about it. So it's going to be awesome, and we're keep adding as we go and stuff. And so my main concern is everybody have a good time. So it's going to be a blast.
That's awesome. You said you've got some paranormal investigators that are going to be there. That was one of my questions. Are you also into the real life paranormal
actually,
stuff?
I am. For the last 5 years, my mom got me into it. She's into like all the Ghost Hunter shows and all the reality shows. And so I bought her some equipment a while back just to let her get into it. And I thought, I'll go with her and we'll go, play around with it. And that led us to go into Waverly Hills in Louisville, Kentucky, which is a big Auditorium Hospital.
Yeah,
and going there, we had some amazing experiences that I couldn't figure out what the hell was going on. I tried everything I could. Well, now we go back there at least a couple times a year to visit and to do stuff. We're actually going this weekend coming up for a couple overnight stays. But we have a group of about six of us that go regularly to a lot of locations all over the South and even some up north and investigate and go to try to debunk or figure stuff out. We've had some amazing experiences. I made some good friends through that.
Do you have does your group have a name?
We just do Pontotoc County Paranormal. We just something simple. Right. But that's only for if we go to like these bigger places, they have to have for their insurance waivers and stuff. But really, it's just me and a group of my friends and my mom who just goes through and we investigate stuff. But because of that, we've made some big connections with a lot of these manufacturers that make ghost hunting equipment. We get to test out a lot of it. We get to go get access to a lot of these locations that aren't available to a lot of people to visit. So it's been amazing. The last few years, it's ratcheted up also. And that actually was helping me get some connections for this convention. I've reached out to some friends and stuff who are in the field who are way better known than I am. They're willing to come out and set up shop and help us out as well. So,
man, that's really cool. It's unfortunate that you're so busy in October because we take the whole month to do like paranormal investigations and on-site stuff. And like, if you can break a weekend free, I know like the Haunted Castle probably takes up all your time, but.
It does. But that being said, doing stuff, we've got a great group of contacts here. So if y'all get it kind of stuff, I could help you out with equipment to people. We've got a group coming from Jackson area. It's the Mississippi Paranormal Society, and they have a very large group. They're coming out to do some tech demos and talk about stuff. They'll be there on site. We've got some people, the Newkirks, who own a paranormal item museum. They're coming out, and they're going to talk about, you know, ghost hunting and stuff that they find. And they own a couple reality shows. They actually go along with the ghost hunters, Grant Wilson and Jason Hawes and all of them. That's all their group of people. So they're going to be there as well. And we've got some more just coming out of the woodwork wanting to get involved as well. So it should be, I mean, paranormal stuff's going to be a lot to do there for that.
Awesome. Let's make sure we get all the plugs in as far as the people listening to this, where they can get more information. Your Facebook page, do you have a website, Twitter?
We do. The website is thehorrorconofmississippi.com, all spelled out. And on Facebook, it's at the HorrorCon MS. I'm going to get it right.
Okay.
On Facebook. But yeah, we're on there. You can also go to Tupelo Haunted Castle on Facebook or the Tupelo Haunted Castle.com. I'll link you to it as well.
Do you have an event page?
We do.
Awesome.
It'd be on Facebook. It'd be the HorrorCon MS on Facebook. If you search for us, you'll find us. We're everywhere on there, so we're trying to get it as visible as possible.
Yeah, I've noticed that it has gained a lot of buzz and momentum just right off the bat since.
Yeah, it has. Like I said, we got the word out, and it picked up like almost immediately. And then the last couple of weeks, it's picked up amazingly. We've pre-sold a big chunk of tickets, and most of our VIP tickets are already sold out, which has been awesome. Like I said, I wasn't even sure we'd have response at all because it's kind of scary stuff in July. It's kind of reaching, but Tupelo's excited about it, and the people are coming from. We got tickets sold as far as North Carolina coming out, so I'm excited to see what happens.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I know that there's so much going on, it would almost be impossible to list it all, but if you don't mind, just kind of list off for our listeners that haven't seen the flyer yet, like the headliners, like the of the guests.
Yeah, I can start at the top. We've got two different, more than that, but two different well-known makeup artists coming out who are going to do demos on how to make movie effects using Walmart grade makeups, and they'll be doing demos all day and all weekend on those. We've got scary movies starting from first open up to all weekend long. We have scary movies running the gamut from Night of the Living Dead to Hostel, and we're showing all day long. We're doing two different dances. We're doing a Monster Mash, which is going to be family-friendly dances and stuff for like all kids and stuff. And we're going to do a Zombie Prom, which will be older kids and to adults, and it's kind of just a prom dance. We'll have a makeup artist there to make you into a zombie of the undead. Just get dance, have fun all night. We're doing a live version of Rocky Horror Picture Show. We're going to like show the movie, and people get to do all the props and all the crazy stuff with it. We're going to show Repo, the genetic opera, which is hard to explain what kind of movie it is, but it's a musical. But it's got Bill Moseley in it, and he's going to be there as well. So we'll do some sing alongs and play along with that. We're also doing, we've got costume contests. We're going to do just a basic costume contest where people get to make stuff on the fly and get to do that. We're doing a face-off type makeup contest, which we'll once again using what we have on hand to compete and see who does the best transformations using just everyday appliances. We got ghost hunter demos. We're also going to have tons of Q&As with people who ghost hunt in these haunted locations like Waverly Hills, South Pittsburgh Hospital, just some of the places around here. We're going to have hands-on stuff with ghost hunting equipment. We've got, for kids, we're going to show kid-friendly scary movies or creepy movies and stuff like Casper, Goosebumps, just whatever. Yeah, of course, we have tons of actors and actresses and stuff coming out from everything from small screen to big screen. We're going to have escape rooms. We've got Deadbolt escape rooms coming out to set up for custom escape room on site. The Haunted Castle will have a haunted event on site people go through and kind of experience it from small stuff. We've got Mississippi Event Rentals bringing out some inflatables and a bunch of carnival games to have people to do and win stuff. We're going to have, it's a whole list of stuff. I didn't have a list in front of me trying to go off the top of my head.
Wow.
We've got tons of cosplayers to show up. We're going to have some vehicles there just to play with. We'll have the Ghostbusters car there and some people with Ghostbusters equipment to mess around with. So, yeah, and then we're adding stuff pretty much every day. We have two different things, it seems, every day getting added to our list of stuff. So
it sounds like everybody that plans on coming needs to go ahead and buy a weekend pass just so they'll have that. They'll
exactly.
need to come both days just to do everything.
Yeah, we've actually got a schedule pending now. We're trying to fit everything in just as best we can. But the best experience is going to be the weekend pass, most definitely, because there's going to be stuff happening, like, say, all day and all night Saturday. And Sunday's filling up now as well. So it's just going to be an awesome weekend.
And that's a really good deal on the tickets. How much is it for a weekend?
It's $15 a day or $25 for the weekend.
Well, I would expect to pay way more than that for everything you just listed.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, we've actually got some flack for being what we have. People asking if we're going to raise the rates on it, and I definitely don't want to do that because it's our first year. I'll people come out and have a good time and just see what we can do from this. So,
man, it's going to be awesome. Do you have anything else you want to add? I appreciate you taking a few minutes to call in and talk to us. I know you're busy and you got a lot of stuff to do.
I appreciate you guys.
But thanks for calling in, man.
Yeah, man, thank you guys.
I wanted to take a minute to tell you about our good friends and sponsors of this show, Shadow Stalkers Paranormal from Amory, Mississippi.
This isn't your average paranormal thing.
Shadow Stalkers is a nonprofit group that hosts fundraisers for families in need, and they also host fundraisers for historical sites.
Their fundraisers and paranormal investigations are open to the public, and they encourage everyone not to just watch, but to join in.
Look them up on Facebook and feel free to shoot them a message if you have any questions.
They are here to assist you with any paranormal needs you may have.
That's Shadow Stalkers Paranormal. Go search for them on Facebook and check them out. That's Shadow Stalkers Paranormal. Go search for them on Facebook and check them out.
Another interesting development is that there was a surprise episode of KPC Plays D&D. Everybody needs to go check that out. I haven't advertised that like really heavily, which I think adds to the coolness of the fact that it was kind of like secretly slipped in there after like over a year.
It's like the underground.
You know,
when Anthony said you really should do like a little teaser, just a brief little segment of the KPC Plays D&D, and like throw it in there, like a trailer.
This is it.
Yeah, that's basically what it is.
We're teasing them right now.
Right now. T-shirt to glory.
Go 27.
The term keeps him in his pocket.
I do. You want me to get it out for you?
Yeah, I'm good.
I know this might be off topic just a smidge, but that reminds me of one of my favorite episodes of Big Bang Theory. Is when Sheldon decided to do everything that day.
I just saw that the other day. Yep, I just saw that the other day.
That was hilarious. I gotta go to the bathroom, and he rolls the 20-sider, and he's like, no bother.
And like when he was in the restaurant ordering his food, like he did the menu with the dots.
Yeah.
It was like some weird shit.
That's the way a 20-sider works, though.
That episode was hilarious.
Let's talk about horror movies.
Okay.
Is it just me, and we talked about this the other day, so if it seems deja vu, I'm trying to recreate the magic of the conversation on the podcast.
Because we should have recorded it then.
Is it just me or, like, the horror movies of the 70s and 80s is what everybody, like, gravitates to? Or even some of the horror movies in the 60s, like 60s, 70s, 80s. Like, there was very few, and I'm not going to say, the reason I say iconic is, like, characters that will last stand the test of time.
Right.
I'm not saying there were not any good horror movies made past 1990, because there were.
Right.
But forgettable. Like maybe Jigsaw will be remembered, and the strangers with the bags over the heads, that's
red,
kind of a recognizable.
Red Face from, was it Insidious?
That dude creeps me out.
The way I said this, back then, they the scary movies were memorable because of, for me, it's nostalgia. Like, when I think of being scared, scary movies, I think of course, I watched Phantasm first, but Freddy Krueger is more my thing. It's more my thing because of the my age, that was...
Yeah.
I was old enough to go to the movies by myself then.
Yeah.
So I seen Nightmare on Elm Street Part 1 at the movies.
I seen Jason, or Friday 13th at the movies. I believe it would have been the second one.
So the one that had Jason in it?
Right.
Yeah. The one that was actually Jason.
So I'm more connected to Freddy Krueger than I am the other ones. Of course, you know, my children who are older now, they like different scary movies because when they were that age, same as I was when I seen Freddy Krueger, they seen different scary movies.
But there's a lot of kids that gravitate towards the 80s horror movies too.
Yeah.
You can't go wrong with it.
Mine are because that's what we watch. We're like, no, you ain't seen a scary movie until you seen this one.
I think that has a lot to do with it.
And we'll make them watch it. We're like, if you want to watch a scary movie, watch this.
Then they cried.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of, like I said, there's a lot of the younger generation, they recognize the original. And another attest to it, and we talked about this with Josh, is that they're trying to recapture that magic, and they're not building any new icon characters. And I think because they're trying to rely too much on, like, and every movie does this really, they're trying to rely too much on the filmography and not the story.
Right.
Blowing up the world. Right. They're all the CGI stuff, which I'm not saying CGI doesn't have its place.
Michael Bay.
It's just the story's not there.
Right.
It's not. It's
and the scariest horror movies weren't really necessarily scary. They were just creepy.
Yeah.
They just creeped you
to
death out.
Well, they were thrillers.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, felt like just creepy when I would watch the movie with Damien in it. Well, The Omen.
The Omen.
Yeah.
That was some creepy shit, man. That was a creepy when he's in the bathroom and he's like going through his hair in the mirror. And he sees like 666. I was like, holy shit, that's creepy.
Yeah.
It was good acting. It was a good story.
There's a lot of good scary movies out there. I mean, they're not the, in this kill pop culture, I understand, the pop scary movies. Like,
yeah.
The Friday the 13th, the Halloween, Nightmare on Elm Street. There's
the original
Rosemary's part. Baby.
Shout out to Trick or Treat.
Rosemary's Baby.
Trick or Treat.
Trick or Treat was great.
Trick or Treat, yeah. I had a good Pumpkinhead. That was a good soundtrack.
Pumpkinhead was great.
I was a huge Pumpkinhead fan.
Michael Myers.
That's what I was fixing to say.
That's a good soundtrack on Trick or Treat, too.
Yeah, it was.
Hey, look. Here's
80s hair band.
Yeah. Look, here's my thing. It's the proudest moment. I'll probably get crucified as a parent for saying this, but leave this in the podcast.
And I should probably get crucified for letting her do it.
Yeah, my oldest daughter, who is 11 now, when she was barely crawling and able to walk, her favorite movies, ask Kella her favorite movie to watch.
It's Halloween.
Yeah, Michael Myers. She, to this day, is still obsessed with Michael Myers. She loves.
Because when I would stay with you, she'd sneak out of her crib, come into the living room, and sit and watch Halloween. And she'd go, Halloween?
Yep.
Halloween?
Yep. But, you know, it's so cool that we were able to experience that firsthand, but we can pass it down generation to generation because that's stuff that lasts.
Going back to the music that's tied into the horror movies of the 80s, you remember, I think it was Nightmare on Elm Street 4, the Dream Warriors.
Dawkins.
Yeah.
Dream Warriors! That was a badass song back in the day. I don't know about now if it holds up, but it was good.
No, it doesn't.
When did Pet Sematary come out?
80s.
Another creepy ass movie.
Was it 80s?
87, 88.
Really?
Okay.
It was late 80s.
Maybe 89.
Okay, Pet Sematary 2 come out in the mid 90s. It had the most awesome soundtrack on it.
Dude, horror movies used to have the Freddy vs. Jason was like a killer soundtrack.
Yeah. The movie sucked, but
I liked it.
I liked it.
I hated it.
I think I'm going to do a movie that don't suck on that.
Maximum Overdrive was an AC/DC soundtrack.
The entire
soundtrack was AC/DC.
Was an album.
Who made who?
Was that really a horror movie?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sidney King.
It's a thriller. I mean, technically, if a big ass truck.
You know, Maximum Overdrive with a clown face on it? Big, decent.
Yeah. What the truck is.
I remember the movie. I just don't remember being scary.
It was a
goblin. Okay, in real life, if a truck just came to life and started chasing your ass trying to kill you, would you not be scared?
Really wasn't scary, but think, dude, that Coke machine was shooting Cokes at the little.
Damn lawnmower running around. Pew, pew, pew.
Hit the coach in the nuts. Yeah.
Who made who?
I remember when I watched Christine.
Oh,
nice. Cujo,
the dude's Christine. Like, I don't know why this struck me so funny, but he's like, death to all shitters.
Yeah.
Right? What the hell does that even mean? Death to shitters.
Yeah, he was like
right now. You get creepy?
Yeah.
Do it.
I get creepy.
Do it.
I don't know if I said this on the air, but.
Please tell that story, what you said when you're driving home and stuff.
Oh, you want to tell that story?
Yeah, please tell it right now.
Hey, can I sing Who's Gonna Drive Me Home while you're doing it?
Go see.
You want a balloon? Well, they all float. We all float down here.
So the guy narrating the audiobook, that was...
He does.
Hey, he's great.
What'd you say his name was again?
Steven Weber.
No, me and Anthony, back when we used to work together, me and Anthony used to always sit there and break and talk about horror movies and... Well, we just talk movies and music and everything back then.
I remember when I watched The Ring, the power used to blink a lot back then. Monroe County Power. That's yeah. Like, and the TV in my bedroom, the way I had it like hooked up, it's like you could change the channels through the VCR. Like you had to have the VCR on to watch TV because that's where the cable came in through. And then it went out of the VCR into the TV. When the power would go off, the TV would come back on, but the VCR wouldn't. So it'd be just static on the screen. And I watched The Ring by myself.
Oh shit.
And horror movies, like with your friends, aren't scary because you're like making fun of it and like laughing and just being.
You know, looking at the movies.
But then when you go home.
Yeah. Well, when you watch one by yourself, it's like, holy shit, what was that? What was that disturbing outside?
Yeah.
Like everything that's happening in the movie, I think it's happening right outside right now. So when I got home after watching, when I went to bed after watching The Ring, I went to sleep and the power blinked. And I woke up and the TV was doing that. And I was like, oh my God, if my phone rings right now, I'm going to shoot it. I'm going to get my gun out of my sock drawer and start shooting everything. I'm going to empty like 9 clips into my bedroom.
Me and my brother-in-law, ex-brother-in-law, watched The Exorcist together. And it was the first time I'd ever seen it, as old as it was. But this was like 19 years ago.
When it came out?
Yeah, 79. But it was 19 years ago, because Sicily is 19. No, so it's been 20 years ago. And me and him both ended up sleeping in the living room with the lights on. Yeah. That movie was really, really creepy.
Holding each other?
No, no.
Dude, I'm with you. Okay. I mean, not with the holding you thing. But, I watched The Exorcist when I was 9. And it, or maybe 10. It effed me up for life. Yeah. I remember distinctly laying in bed, just praying that my bed wouldn't start.
Yeah.
Levitating. Like, popping up and down. Yeah. And I was so relieved when we got to the Telltale Heart in, I guess it was English or literature, whatever class.
Right, yeah.
Where that came around.
I love that story.
Well, I would get so scared my heart would start beating, and I could hear my heart. Yeah. And I thought it was somebody else's heart. And then I heard that story, and I was like, oh, shit, thank you, Edgar.
Exactly.
Thank you, Edgar, for bringing that to my perspective. Mr. Poe, you're a genius. Like a watch wrapped in cotton.
So, and
it's kind of creepy and shit.
Did I just make it weird?
Yeah,
or did I make it creepy?
You made it creepy.
Oh, that's okay.
That's okay. That's fine.
This is a horror episode.
So, it is a horror episode. Hey, I like horror. And horror is kind of, it kind of ties into the nerd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I don't understand, though, especially here lately, horror movies today, maybe it's just because we're older.
No.
Don't hold a candle.
It's not. They just suck.
I think it has to do with age.
I think some of it does.
I don't know. There's a lot of young kids into the old stuff.
Yeah.
They like the old stuff better.
Yeah.
But yeah, but it's like
you'll see it at HorrorCon. The kids, like the young kids, they're going to be walking around dressed as Jason, Freddy, Chucky.
Oh, yeah, actually. Because that's the iconic ones. They'll never.
Well, that's my point.
They'll never top those.
Right. So, as far as HorrorCon goes, what are you most excited about?
Michael Berryman.
Exactly.
Now, who's that?
Michael Berryman. Hills Have Eyes.
Hills Have Eyes. The guy, the bald-headed guy.
You've seen him in 1,000 movies.
Probably. Dude. And if it's the same guy I'm thinking of.
I'll Google it now.
He was in Barbarian Brothers.
Yes. He was the principal in the Sweet Home.
He was in Motley Crue.
He was also in...
Segue to the Weird Science.
Yeah.
Was he not in Weird Science?
No, not Weird Science. He was in the... Weird Science, yeah, you're right.
It was Weird Science.
I think we could get him on the podcast.
Probably.
I'm thinking he could. Because, I think he's that laid back.
Yeah.
Michael
John Berryman,
Anything he does is creepy.
But, yeah, he is a great actor.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
One last movie I want to bring up before we jump off of here, and I would love to sit here and talk to y'all about scary movies all night. But I want to turn that air conditioner back on.
Yeah, exactly.
It's getting hot in here.
All right. We can do more outro tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll talk tomorrow.
I'll be here.
I remember, and I wasn't a kid. Like I was kind of late to the party on a lot of horror movies because I wasn't allowed to watch them.
Right.
Yeah.
So I had to watch them when I could. Sometimes years after, they'd, been.
But you watched Exorcist at 9.
Yeah, I can't remember that. I think that was a free HBO weekend.
See boobies.
Yeah, I want to turn on HBO because there might be boobies. Like, oh my God, there's somebody's possessed. My whole life sucks now.
Yeah, pretty much how it goes.
I wanted boobs, and instead I got demons.
Thanks, what the hell? HBO.
What in the hell?
That's why I'm in a metal band.
That's why my life sucks. I got demons for boobs.
Now, what would you say?
That's the quote of the day.
That is.
I got demons. I was by myself, and again, I was late to the party, but I was still young when I saw it. The first Children of the Corn.
Those movies scare me.
Scare the shit out of me. He wants you to
Gemini.
First.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Blonde hair, blue eyed kid.
I was like,
Malachi.
I have a blonde hair, blue eyed kid.
I'm not that much older than y'all, but I'm. It means a lot in movie time.
Yeah,
really,
I know what you mean.
It means a lot in movie time.
I know what you mean.
Because, The Gate.
Did we not talk about that the other day?
The Gate really was a horror movie.
It was scary.
That movie scared
me. I thought it was awesome. I laughed through most of it.
Another good soundtrack.
Dude, back then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very underground though. Like right. The gate is
taking an eyeball.
But that little kid, he's like a big actor.
Yeah, oh my god! I've got to mention this before we go too, because y'all are gonna pop big time on this. Do you remember at the old Walmart? Like where when you walk in the front doors where all the arcade machines
yeah.
are,
yeah.
they had the horror movie sticker box.
Yeah.
Where you put in 50 cents and you could get the horror movie, but you didn't know which one you were going to get.
Right.
I spent, I don't know how, like, in by today's standards, I spent $100, but it's probably like $5. Yeah.
Fucking we're not inflation. That old.
Because I wanted the gate sticker.
Oh, yeah.
Because yes. I kept getting the.
Yes.
I kept getting the hole in the ground.
It's like, yeah, it's shaped in the word gate. Right. And the yeah. ends coming out
yeah.
of the eyes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they had a ton of Freddy stickers. Like, I kept getting yeah. Chainsaw Maggot. I was like, I want the gate.
The gate.
Yeah.
I knew it was in there. It was on the display.
Because the little bastard's going to the door.
Yeah,
but shoulders. He got to the doorknob and it fell yeah. out. And like, yeah. Ah!
Dude gets an eyeball in his hand and he stabs it with a piece of glass.
Barbie doll?
Yeah. No, that Barbie doll creeped me out. Because you know how I feel about dolls.
That's another one.
The construction worker that got sealed up in
the wall. Puppet Master.
Puppet Master. This is going to be a continuation
now, see,
of Mario.
None of those ever scared me, no, but I love
they were creepy.
They were scary.
Yeah.
They were creepy, yeah.
Puppet Master made it weird.
All right, look.
He did.
Here's
sexy puppet.
We just kind of.
And we could really start keep going. Off.
Hey, this was going to be an outro. I just turned into this bullshit. I'm going to hit record here in a minute. I'm just playing.
Yeah, we're
going to
pick this up.
Yeah.
This got going more than we thought it was going to do, I think.
Yeah. All right, well, we got to sign off because Anthony's got to go. But,
yeah.
We'll be back.
Thanks for listening. Yeah. We're looking forward to HorrorCon. We're going to be talking a lot more about horror stuff.
Later.
Love you, mean it.